Before the throne of God above, I have a strong and perfect plea, a great high priest whose name is love, whoever lives and pleads for me. My name is graven on his hands, my name is written on his heart. I know that while in heaven he stands, no tongue can bid me thence depart. No tongue can bid me thence depart.
Have you ever been asked the question, is the glass half full or half empty? The question is an attempt to measure optimism. Optimism is defined as hopefulness and confidence about the future or the successful outcome of something. There can be many responses to this one or the other question. My answer is always something like, I just drink the glass and ask for more. I guess that makes me a realist, or maybe a sarcastic. You can decide. Well, in today's lesson, we look at one of the Bible's great optimists. So please stay with me for a few moments as we discuss the topic of My Cup Overflows.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, praise the one risen Son of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, praise the one risen Son of God. Behold him there, the risen Lamb, my perfect spotless righteousness, the great unchangeable I am, the King of glory and of grace. One with himself I cannot die. My soul is purchased by his blood. My life is hid with Christ on high, with Christ my Savior and my God, with Christ my Savior and my God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, praise the one risen Son of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, praise the one risen Son of God.
I'm sure we all have our favorite Bible characters, and we probably all have our reasons for choosing those particular people. As you've probably figured, Mary, the sister of Martha and Lazarus, is definitely one of them for me because of her relationship with Jesus and how he speaks about her in Scripture. Elijah is another Bible figure that I think I would have gotten along with very well. He seems very sarcastic in his dealings with the prophets of Baal and the Ashtoreth in 1 Kings chapter 18, and I believe we would have gotten along famously. Well, another of my favorite Bible characters is often called the other spy. In fact, I have given a full lesson on Caleb with that exact title. What I would like to do today is quickly examine Caleb's life, figure out why he is considered a great optimist, and try to make some spiritual application for our own lives. Caleb, as we probably remember, lived as a slave in Egypt for most of his early life. We find out in Joshua chapter 14 and verse 10 that he was only 40 years old when he left Egypt. It says, "Now behold, the Lord has let me live, just as he spoke these 45 years from the time that the Lord spoke this word to Moses, when Israel walked in the wilderness, and now behold, I am 85 years old today." So if he's currently 85, as we read in Joshua 14, and the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, and it has been 5 years since they entered the land, then that leaves us with 40 years in the land of Egypt. You math people can check me out on that. He was a leader in the tribe of Judah, the tribe that would eventually produce the Messiah. He was chosen as one of the 12 men that were sent in advance to spy out the land of Canaan. He was one of two that came back to Moses with a good or optimistic report for Israel. This would allow him to be one of the two men that were able to enter the promised land of the 603,550 that were counted when they left Egypt. Now, this number does not include women, children, or the tribe of Levi, who was not counted at that time. It is his time as a spy that we probably remember the most about Caleb, but this is only a mere snapshot of a much longer life. Just from this explanation of who Caleb is, we understand him to be quite a noble character in Scripture. However, we lose track of his story from the time that he spied out the land at 40 years old until he returns at 85 years old. So what happened in those 45 years of silence about Caleb? Well, Caleb is mentioned a couple of different times. The first time in Numbers chapter 32, verses 11 and 12, and the second time comes from Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses 35 and 36. Both verses say basically the same thing, and so I'll just read the latter of the two verses. Not one of these men in this evil generation shall see the good land which I swore to give to your fathers, except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. He shall see it, and to him and his sons I will give the land on which he has set foot, because he has followed the Lord fully. Then, of course, God goes on to explain Joshua as the other spy who would see the promised land. These are the only two times Caleb is mentioned until we get to the text in Joshua chapter 14. In Joshua 14, Joshua is dividing the land between all of the tribes. When it's time for the tribe of Judah to receive their inheritance, an 85-year-old Caleb speaks up to remind Joshua of the promise that God made to them through Moses. If you read through the context several times within these verses, it talks about Caleb fully following the Lord from the time he left Egypt until now, though there's not a lot said about him. We also find Caleb still being very optimistic. Please consider verses 11 and 12, where Caleb is quoted as saying, "I am still as strong today as I was in the day Moses sent me. As my strength was then, so is my strength now, for war and for going out and coming in. Now then, give me this hill country about which the Lord spoke on that day. For you heard on that day that the Anakim were there with great fortified cities. Perhaps the Lord will be with me, and I will drive them out as the Lord has spoken." Here, an 85-year-old man is not asking Joshua to send the soldiers in for him and to take the land, but rather just asking permission to go in himself with his people and take on the Anakim, which are described as giants with fortified cities defending them. When most people would see the glass half full or half empty, Caleb sees a glass overflowing, knowing what his God is able to accomplish for him and through him. How many of us can say the same? We may know that God is able to accomplish great things, but how often are we willing to put ourselves in that equation? Caleb trusted that God was able to accomplish this great feat through him. Not just that God was able to accomplish it by himself, which obviously he was able to do. Caleb was willing to put in the work and spoke about the land and the pending war like it was already settled in the past. We need to be able to have the confidence of this 85-year-old man when it comes to God and what we can accomplish with him if we, like Caleb, fully follow the Lord. So until next time, I encourage you to fully follow the Lord and watch your cup overflow.
Can ever pluck me from his hand till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I'll stand. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ.
Christ I'll stand.